Please be opening your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 1. We'll continue today where we left off last week. It's great to be with you this morning. What a beautiful day we have to enjoy being together. And I will echo Will's thoughts this morning, since Michael didn't say anything about it, or Jay, or anybody else, and say Happy Father's Day. And Vasya asked me yesterday, he said, well, what are you going to preach about on Father's Day? I said, James chapter 1, verses 12 through however far we get. He said, does that have anything to do with fathers? I said, no, but that's where we're at. That's what I've been announcing for several weeks now, that we would be preaching through James, and that's what I've prepared for. So that's what we're going to do. But we did want to. I wanted to make sure that I added my thoughts of appreciation to all the fathers in the room, and all of those of you who have fathers, and say, Happy Father's Day to everyone, and certainly we are very blessed to have men in our lives who lead us and guide us and watch over us and take care of us and provide for us, and so we're certainly thankful. It's possible that you may look at this day with a little bit of bittersweetness if your father has passed on, and you're thinking about him today, and certainly we want to be mindful of that as well. In James chapter 1, we talked about the first 11 verses last week, and I just want to reset the stage of how I'm kind of approaching the text in this series of lessons. I want to look all the way through chapter 1 with the context of trials. The very first verse tells us that James is writing to a group of people who have been dispersed. Well, even just that word carries with it the idea that these people spread out, they scattered, and perhaps had to scatter because it wasn't their choosing to do so. That they are enduring trials, and the very first of those trials was the fact that they had to leave where they were. James, as far as we can tell in Scripture, was a man who stayed in and around Jerusalem. And as he wrote this letter, he's trying to encourage those who left, who dispersed, who went to other places. And the very first topic that he considers and gives as a way of encouragement is that of trials. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. He's writing to a group of people who certainly are enduring trials. And we made the point last week that if you just kind of look at the wording in chapter 1, you might think that James is bouncing around from topic to topic. You know, he starts talking about trials, and then he starts talking about wisdom and faith, and then he starts talking about the rich man versus the poor man, and then he's back to trials in verse 12. Then he's on to temptations, and then talking about God's Word being planted within us, and then starts talking about what we're supposed to do with that Word. I'd like for us to continue to think through this chapter, though, through the lens of trials. And we talked about how those other topics in the first 11 verses there fit in within the context of trials. And so he continues on with that mindset in verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. He said in the very early part of the first paragraph of this letter to consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, because you know that when your faith is tested, it produces good things in you. It produces endurance. It produces a completeness, a maturity that we would not be lacking in anything. And he goes on to say how blessed a man is when he perseveres under trials, because that test has been given and this man has persevered and he has been approved as he's endured through the trial. Now God looks at him and says how blessed this man is, and he's going to receive that crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. You know, we're not the only ones who are blessed when we persevere under trial. You know, trials have a lot of benefit for a wide variety of people. When we experience trials and we go through those valleys and we lean upon the Lord and we trust in Him and we endure through those things, then certainly, as the verse says, we are blessed when we have persevered. But you know who trials are also for? You know why God allows us to go through trials? It's for other people to see. For people to see us as we're going through trials, and when they see us leaning upon the Lord, trusting in the Lord, enduring in His love, persevering in these trials, then people who may not have that same line to the Lord, that same love and protection that we enjoy, that same faithfulness, they don't know about that yet. They don't have that in their life. They don't understand how all of that works. And so they see someone like us, and it may be somebody from work. It might be a classmate. It might be your neighbor. It might be a close family friend, someone that you've been trying to lead to the Lord for years. And then they see you go through a trial. And they're watching. They're watching. You know, I'm reminded of that story in the book of Acts where Paul is bitten by the venomous viper, and the reaction of all the people when that happened. You know, so this viper jumps out at Paul and it fastens itself to him and it's stuck on him. Paul's going through a trial. And he's going through a public trial. And what do the other people around him do whenever they see what's happened to Paul? They start waiting. This man's about to die. I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting to see when he's going to drop dead. He must be some horrible person to have suffered this fate. And they are just waiting on him to fall. And you know, people do that to us, don't they? When we go through trials, they're just looking. How are they going to react to this? What are they going to do? What are they going to say? Where are they going to run? And when people see a different reaction, a different response, a perseverance in us that they don't see anywhere else in the world, that's not going to make sense to them. It didn't make sense to these people who saw Paul get bitten by this snake. And so then, their hearts are going to be at least somewhat curious and open, perhaps, to hearing what we might have to say. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Not just he is blessed, but blessed are also all those who see a man experience a trial and see the perseverance that comes from that. I remember listening to a story one time of a gentleman that we was part of our church community in Georgia. And he was on an airplane with his family, and one of the engines went out during takeoff, and they had to circle back around, make an emergency landing. It was terrifying. I mean, the whole plane was in an uproar. And this man gathered his family around him. They were all sitting very, very close to each other. And he just very calmly and very patiently began to pray. To pray for him and his family, to pray for the pilots, to pray for the safety of the other passengers. He didn't get too agitated or too anxious. He just calmly began to pray. And when they landed safely and everything turned out okay, there were several passengers around him that wanted to know how he did that. How did you so calmly and so assuredly just get your family around you and begin to pray? They wanted to know. And I think the opportunities for that exist all of the time. People are watching. People are looking. They are yearning for something that is better, something that is different. Do you think people really want, now this is a bad example because the equipment's not good, but do you think people really want to just walk around all day doing this? Do people really want that? No, they want something better than that. They want something that matters, something that they can believe in, something that is going to be there when all else around them is failing. And when we go through trials, how we persevere, how we behave, how we think, how we act, what we say, all of that is going to have an impact on those who see us going through those trials. These people were dispersed out into a world of lawlessness. These people are scattered all over the known world. Many of those places, they were aliens and strangers and pilgrims in a land that was not their own. They were living, as Peter would say, among the Gentiles. And Peter, along with James, would encourage them to keep their conduct honorable or excellent as they go out through those lands. So that when people see them and see the way they think and see the way they act and hear the way they speak, it's going to have the best possible impact. And here James says, as you go out and disperse abroad, as you go through various trials, consider it joy because you know just how much good it can produce in you when you see the endurance that comes through persevering through a trial. And as you go out and you persevere through these trials, you're going to be able to have this impact on the people around you who see that you're going through these things and witness just how you respond. And then James wants to make a distinction here. There's another word that comes up, and if you're going through a severe trial, what's one thing that people sometimes run to when things get really hard in their life? Sin. That's just the easiest way to say it. I'm really down and depressed about this situation that's going on in my life. And so, you know what? I deserve to go get drunk. I deserve it. I mean, things have been so hard. I have been so worried and I've been so down and depressed about whatever this situation is, this trial that has presented itself. And I deserve to be able to just get away from all that for a little while And so this opportunity has presented itself for me to go get drunk, or for me to go to a movie that I know I shouldn't see, or for me to go disappear on the internet for a while on sites that I have no business going to. I just deserve, because how hard things have been for me, I deserve to have this outlet. And so, if that is your mindset, if you're thinking about how hard things are for you, and you're thinking about just how horrible it is that you've been in, going through these events, Satan's going to use that. And he's going to say, well, let me put something in front of this person that will help them forget about their trials for a little while. And he's not going to put something in front of you that doesn't appeal to you. He's going to take whatever it is that you and he and God and that all of you know is your thing, that thing that you run to, he's going to put that in front of you and say, try this. Forget about your troubles. Forget about your trials. And do this. And James wants to make a distinction between those two concepts, the idea of trials versus temptations. Trials are good. Trials produce endurance. Trials produce perseverance. Trials show us that we can lean on the Lord for wisdom and understanding and the ability to overcome. Trials are good. Trials are allowed by God. And when we come through the other side of trials, we are better and stronger and more faithful and trusting in the one who is the giver of all good things, as we'll talk about in just a minute. Temptations are different. Someone who is experiencing temptation doesn't need to delude themselves into thinking that this is something that has been given to them by God. He wants to make that abundantly clear because, as we mentioned just a moment ago, many times trials, if we will allow them, will lead to temptation. And while the trial may be allowed by God, the temptation is not from Him. No, you see, temptation, James says, comes when each of us is enticed, when each of us is carried away by our own desires, our own lust. It's that part of our carnal nature that causes us to want to just go and do whatever it is we want to do. And there's that part in all of us that says, I don't want to do what's right today. I want to do what I want to do. I want to do and go and be and say whatever I want. And James wants to make it very clear that that's coming from here. That's not coming from God. Because someone might, if they were experiencing an intense amount of trial, say persecution in some way, say some burden that you're experiencing in your life that just seems too heavy for you to lift, someone who experiences that and then starts to endure temptation to go and say things they shouldn't say, and do things they shouldn't say, and be places they shouldn't be, they might say, why is God tempting me like this? If you're under an intense amount of pressure and experiencing a heavy trial, you might be led to say something like that, or to think something like that. And James says, don't let trials lead to temptation and then try to confuse the two. They are different. Trials are good. Trials come from God. They are allowed by Him. And they are allowed by Him for our good, to produce good things in us. But if we will allow it, trials can also produce in us a lust, a desire that will carry us away. And will carry us away into a mindset that says, I want to do this. I want to escape this. Instead of leaning on the Lord and trusting in Him, and as Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look for the way of escape that God has provided for me. It says, no, you know what? I deserve this. I deserve a break. I deserve this release. I need an outlet. And it starts with desire, starts with lust, verse 15. Lust is conceived, it then gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, and other translations say full grown, it brings forth death. To me, the perfect illustration of this verse, just this one verse here, is the story that we find in 2 Samuel chapter 11. David goes out onto his balcony. He looks across the way and he sees a woman bathing. His lust is conceived. And what he had the opportunity to do is to shut his eyes, to go back inside, to run away, to try to do whatever he could to get his mind off of the image that he had seen, the situation that he placed himself in. But he didn't. He let that lust be conceived in his heart, and then he let it give birth. And it gave birth to sin. He sinned with Bathsheba. He sinned by falsifying things to try to hide what he had done. He sinned in the murder of Uriah. And so think about all the death that came forth from David's sin. Uriah died. The child died. And because of all of that, turmoil entered into David's household and among his family, and his sons died as a result. And so you've got so much death coming from that one time when he walked out on his balcony and he allowed lust to conceive, and he fostered it to the point where it gave birth to sin. Trials are good. Trials bring endurance. Trials teach us perseverance. Trials teach us trust. Temptations, that's coming from here. That's not coming from God. Each of us is tempted when we are enticed by our own lust. God doesn't give temptations. He cannot be tempted by evil, and He does not tempt anyone. Verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among His creatures. Trials are good. Temptations are bad, but temptations come from us. Don't be deceived in thinking that bad things come from God. In fact, everything that is good, everything that is perfect, you know, all those things in Philippians where it tells us to meditate on these things, think on these things, lovely, pure, good report, all of those things, all of those things come from God. Everything that is good, everything that is perfect, everything that is lovely, comes from God. Temptation, that's something different. That comes when we start listening to the carnality of our being and start listening to the one who is evil, the one who is called the tempter. And one of those good and amazing and perfect gifts that God has given us is His Word. And the rest of this chapter is going to be about hearing His Word and doing His Word and what that looks like on a practical level. Still, we want to look at that through the lens of trials. We've looked at it that way all the way up to this point. I think that concept, that thought, continues on all the way through the end of the chapter. As you experience various trials, remember the word that you heard and do it. That's how you endure. That's how you grow closer to God. That's how you grow in trusting Him. That's how you grow in wisdom. That's how you persevere. So we'll look at that next week. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the amazing word that you have given to us. We thank you, Father, for every good and every perfect thing that you have given to us and provided for us. We pray, Father, that as we go through trials, that we would look to you, lean on you, trust in you, ask you for wisdom and help and strength and courage to be able to endure. Father, please do not allow us to be led and carried away into temptation. And certainly, may we never blame you for it. We pray, Father, that you will guard, help us to guard our hearts, and that you will protect us from the tempter, that you would make your way of escape abundantly clear, so that we would not allow that lust to conceive and give birth to sin and bring forth death. We pray, Father, that you will bless us as we go through the different trials and tribulations of this life. May it draw us ever closer to you, and may it cause us to long even more so for heaven than we ever have. We thank you, Father, for Jesus, who experienced the greatest of all trials in taking upon the sins of the world, suffering and dying, so that we might be saved. We pray, Father, that if there's anyone here today who has not been saved by the blood of Jesus, who have not trusted in Him and have not been buried with Him in baptism to have their sins washed away, we pray, Father, that today would be the day of rejoicing and salvation and healing. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you're here this morning and that last part of the prayer applies to you, you find yourself outside of the body of Christ, outside of a saved relationship with Him, then certainly we want to extend to you the invitation that our Lord extended in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. There's a lot in there. We could unpack that little by little. The very simplified version of that is, lay down your life, be buried with Christ, crucify the old man, and take up the life that He has called you to live. And following Him, although it will cost you everything, will be the most rewarding thing, most rewarding decision you've ever made. And if you're ready to make that decision, then certainly we want to encourage you with this song.